B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, and ask our social media followers what they'd love to see made into a VR game. That discussion is ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with Robbie and Norris, who actually got to go out to PAX East in Boston. Guys, how was
Thank
it?
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I couldn't put it any better than myself. It's PogChamp. That's right. It's PogChamp.
Well, I got to tell you, me and Nate weren't jealous or upset or all.
No.
We didn't care. We enjoyed our time here in the cold. It was 34 degrees,
right,
by the way.
If it makes you feel any better, you guys know all the, like, basically kind of the pros and cons. The cons of E3, like all the bad things. Like, man, they could just do away with those things.
Yeah.
It'd be a great...
Those are all exacerbated. That's pretty much...
Well,
really?
Honestly, I think that on the first day, not Saturday, but on Friday... It was like that. It was E3 without all the stuff you hate about it.
Oh.
The first day.
Yeah, the first day. The second day when everyone shows up.
So wait, okay, so there was like elbow room.
Yep,
and
there was elbow room specifically.
You could actually try things.
Yes. What PAX does great, we've always known that they've been a great location and a great event for like an indie presence, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when
you go
to E3, the indie are always like tucked away in some room down in the convention center somewhere in some dungeon. Here, it's like a good 50% of the convention
hall.
It's
about half of the hall.
And because they don't have necessarily the room for line, I don't know if people just don't line up for the games. You just kind of walk around, you know, taking a look, watching, talking to developers. And if there happens to be a spot open, you jump into it. And that's how I was able to try out the majority of the games that I did.
Well, so I got to know, what did you get hands-on with when you were out at PAX East 2019?
So the first one, probably the one that made the biggest impression on me, this is going to be hilarious for Joe, was a game that the guy that the dev said from Fluxscopic Studios was heavily inspired by Undertale, called Mayhem the Single Valley. It was actually a lot of fun. It kind of harkened back to a lot of like sort of the 8-bit, you know, era type days, but there's still mechanics you can see in there that obviously wouldn't have been possible back then.
So you liked it?
I did.
You enjoyed it?
I did.
Would you play it when you'll play it when it comes out?
I will.
Will you try Undertale?
I can't.
Why not, you jerk?
Because that's the reason why. It's just spite at this point.
Well, so you actually got to sit down with the developer and talk to him. You can find the full conversation over at a website at checkpointxp.com. But what else were you guys able to try out? What else were you able to get hands-on with and interactive with?
I definitely got a chance to play through a few games. Two were definitely the standouts. That's Streets of Rage 4, which is...
I gotta know about this.
This was everything that I needed it to be.
Because we'll actually hear from Julie and you a little bit later on in the show, but I gotta know, like, does it feel like every
it
bit
does.
The Streets of Rage that you want?
It does, that sort of weighted gameplay where it's not, you know, you're not running full speed and knocking people out. The art style is amazing. The one question that I asked them when I first met Julian, who's a lead artist on the game, was about the soundtrack. That was the first thing I asked him. I said, listen, this plays great. What about the soundtrack? He's like, I cannot tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, all right.
I'm dying to know. I'm dying to hear what the soundtrack is, because that is a huge aspect of Streets of Rage.
Yeah, so...
So for our listeners out there, you know, paint the picture of what it looks like. So you walk in, is it like, because E3 has like multiple different halls. Is it one large hall?
Yeah, it's one large hall, but in the Boston Convention Center, there's sort of walkways that go across the entire convention hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a level above it is where they have a lot of their like talks and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah, okay. Yeah. There are panels
entrances
and stuff like that.
In and out of it, so there's not a bunch of congestion like at one end.
Yeah, and that's another great part about it too, is that in your entry points, there's not a lot of congestion. From the main entrance where there's escalators down, that's where all the big studios get, because obviously that's the primo location, so
sure,
they can afford it. But sort of in the back, in the way, way back, even past the indie stuff, even past
this
the
was
arena,
a sight to behold, by the
there
way.
There is a whole fourth of the convention center dedicated to nothing but tabletop.
Oh, wow. Oh.
They had PCs set up, too, for, like, free play and, like, just free room. People just play tabletop games. It was... It was something else to see.
I've seen this at conventions, but a lot of time those places go kind of underutilized. No one actually does it.
They probably needed more room.
They did need more room. And here's the thing: it's a combination of tabletop free play, where people who actually have bought games or brought their own tabletop games to the convention center can sort of set up shop and run their own games.
Sure.
And then you have the creators of the tabletops who set out games. For you to essentially go and try.
They had a line that was literally like a looking for group line. Like you get in line for group and then they put you into these tables with someone, you know, from the gamer who knows something about the game to kind of run you through it.
Oh, I love that. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. We're currently talking to Robbie and Norris about their experiences out at PAX East. Robbie, you and I are both big Penny Arcade fans. Mm-hmm. The webcomic that really kind of brought PAX to life. For those that don't know, PAX stands for Penny Arcade Expo. How much of Penny Arcade is kind of left after, I mean, it's been so long since it started as the Penny Arcade Expo, but how much of Penny Arcade is kind of left in the DNA of an event like PAX East?
I mean, obviously this all came, you know, Penny Arcade, the webcomic, even when it comes down to like the board games and stuff, that's all very grassroots. And you can kind of see that, I think, just in like the indie scene in how much they've dedicated to sort of tabletop here as well. But for the most part, this has all evolved way beyond Penny Arcade.
Yeah, I guarantee you, if you went up to the average attendee of PAX and said, you know, what does PAX stand for? They'd be like, I don't know.
I know that they were doing some type of...
It's kind of a cool buzzword. Yeah,
I know they were doing some type of contest where you could earn, like, trophies for either Team Tycho or Team Gabe.
Cool.
I have no idea what it necessarily entailed. But beyond that, no, PAX has, like, become its own, like, entity just onto itself.
That's kind of cool. Now, listen, we got to talk about some of the actual big announcements and panels that went down there, starting with the Borderlands 3 announcement. This was such a big deal. Gearbox did a almost hour-long presentation. Now, obviously, some of that was technical issues. And
some of that was magic tricks.
Yeah, and like a 40-minute magic trick for like no reason.
Yeah.
But
I had an hour to fill, man.
But Gearbox really came out and wanted to show off their newest game, their forthcoming game, in huge style. Robbie, I know you're a big Borderlands fan. What are you thinking about the remaster of the earlier games and, of course, the announcement of Borderlands 3?
When you have a storied franchise like this, I think that this is absolutely the way that you announce a new game. When you're bringing out the next iteration of it and everyone's looking forward to it, you know, giving them HD remasters of everything that came before, that's going to get people hyped up. It's going to get people wanting to play it.
Well, that's the thing. I missed Borderlands the first time around. I'm really excited to pick up 1 and 2 and play through it now.
Exactly. And even if you're not the type of person that would go back and replay through all the other ones leading up to it, when they put out like remasters like this, it gives you a reason to do it. And for anyone who already owns them on PC, the fact that they're free upgrades, that's just earning you goodwill.
Yeah, so we've got, I mean, Borderlands 3 itself, we got the trailer. Eventually, we got the trailer. They had to go through a couple iterations trying to get it to play properly, but once we did get the trailer, I mean, it looks amazing.
It really does. I mean, and you see a variety of different, you know, biomes, and I'm expecting a really massive map out of the thing. We see, you know, this big metropolis area,
big city,
which
thing
is unlike anything really you've seen in Borderlands before. And I think I'm just really excited for the scope of this game because no one really knows what it is yet.
We also got the release date for it today. It's coming out in early September, but will be a 6-month exclusive to the Epic Store.
Oh, well.
That is a big get for Epic.
That's like, 6 months longer than I have to wait to get it then.
But, like, legit, like, why not just get it on console at that point? Honestly.
I
think I would rather play Borderlands on console.
I think I would. Honestly, yeah. I feel like that's a really good kind of couch game.
Robbie, you mentioned that PAX did a lot of things, you know, like, it's like E3, but with a lot of the bad things taken out. Mm-hmm. I got to hear about the merch at PAX. Buying merch at E3 is a nightmare.
Okay, so listen. If there is one thing that I want E3 to adopt from PAX right now, today, even notwithstanding the indie presence, is the merch. I love how much merch there was that was there. I want them to have more merch at E3.
Yes, please.
It was great.
It's really funny because the first day, too, Norris was like, you know, all this table stuff is cool as all, but, like, you know, where can I get my glasses? Where can I get my, like, you know, cool jacket and stuff? And on the second day as we're walking, we actually walked by a booth that was selling, like, really sweet frames and another one that
custom jackets.
Seriously.
Ask, you shall receive, basically.
It was amazing. And I sat back
How did you breathe that into existence? That's crazy.
I don't know, but it's very few times where I just got to shut up, and I did.
So what'd you buy? I mean, obviously, if you wished for that to be in existence, you plunked down money.
That stuff was real expensive.
We're talking jackets were like $300 to $600.
Yeah. Whoa. He prayed a little request to the gods, and the gaming gods smiled upon him and gave it to him.
Not the $1,200 gods.
He was looking to get a custom controller, but we couldn't find him in our Mad Dash at the end of day two.
Yeah.
So
last thing real quick. Cosplay, yay or nay at PAX?
Yay.
Really?
Yay.
Times
not as force? Not as much as I would have expected.
But the quality was
top tier. But the quality was very high.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Were you out at PAX East? What was your favorite thing that you got to see? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Was it meeting Robbie and Norris? Should be meeting Robbie and Norris. Ahead next, this weekend on our social media question, we asked you what your favorite video game that you'd love to see remade in VR is. We'll share our own answers and welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to give you yours. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
Well, there's a new debate online about whether games like Sekiro Shadows Die Twice should have an easy mode or not.
This is not a new debate. It's been raging ever since From Software became popular. And the answer is no. Spoiler alert. Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One Podcast app. From Westwood One Podcast Network, everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked if you could play any game in VR. What would it be? We got some very interesting responses, but I'm curious to know from you guys in the room, if you could play any game throughout gaming history in VR, what would it be?
I spent some time thinking about this, and then like an epiphany, it came to me clear as day this morning. Gundam.
Oh. Gundam seems like a very good use of immersive VR.
Any Gundam
or Armored Core?
Any Gundam style game?
Gundam, Armored Core, Evangelion, any of these
giant
mechs.
Robot.
Question
yes.
for you. Would you be playing from like the perspective of the robot itself or in the cockpit?
In the cockpit.
Absolutely.
Steel Battalion style.
Yeah.
See,
I mean, Norris, you and I are kind of on similar trains of thought then, because I feel like for me, VR, the coolest thing would be to be sitting in the cockpit of some, you know, something famous.
Experience.
Absolutely.
So, to that end, I need this in my life.
Undertale?
No, yeah, right, Undertale. No, I Bubsy. Need a real Star Wars VR game. I need to do the trench run. I need to blow up the Death Star in the X-Wing.
You guys remember that huge arcade back in the day? Star Wars
Arcade? I do. I plugged so many quarters into that thing, mostly because it took a dollar to play.
Yep, always did.
But yeah, I loved that. And it was so basic wireframe.
That's all it was.
That's all it was.
Rogue Squadron VR.
Yes, I need a modern day, because I don't want like N64 Rogue Squadron. Right. I need a modern day X-Wing that I can actually fly in and do combat in. That
dude, I love that.
Amazing.
Pod racing.
I love that.
Pod racing.
Pod racing. Mm-hmm. And then you got to get the other side. You got to get the TIE Fighter edition.
Ideally, you could fly in any number of ships.
Well,
but then we get the multiplayer version where one of them, where you have two people in the Y-Wing, someone's dropping the bombs. That'd be amazing.
Oh, that would be so cool. Or
that's such a throwback.
Four people in the Millennium Falcon. Heck yeah.
We've made the best game ever.
VR. If you are wondering what the purpose of VR is, we've just given it to you.
The purpose of VR is Star Wars, obviously.
I mean, I love this idea of actually using VR as sort of a way to, like, as a control interface, because then that actually makes, you know, things like walking around and you know, the physicality associated with VR, you know.
Things that are usually awkward to try to handle make sense in a cockpit setting.
Exactly. Yep. You know, I was thinking, you know, I'm such a fan of RPGs, and I have yet to try Skyrim or Fallout in VR, although I desperately want to.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was thinking of things like Zelda. You know, that's very like block and swing with the sword. Mm-hmm. You know, the Wii,
they did
tried that very early on and had those motion controls. So it seemed like a good fit. But then you kind of walk into the problem of like walking and you know, the physicality of that.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And it also seems really exhausting, too. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of like kind of transposing yourself into the cockpit of something.
Yes.
You know, Ace Combat did that recently, and people are loving this.
Absolutely.
Robbie, what about you?
I went with Mass Effect for mine, you know, especially with the, how
big surprise
with how great the biotics and, you know, the actual Mass Effect powers got later in the games. I think being able to like use the motion controls in like each sort of direction or something different, you know, how you like sort of use it determines which biotic power you use, I thought would be really cool.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. We're currently going over our social media question. We asked you this week, if you could play any game in VR, what would it be? And we're going to get to your responses in just a second, but we got to ask Voice of the People, Sarah. If you could play any game in VR, what would it be?
So, again, I don't know how the logistics of this would work, because it's very movement-heavy, but for me, I think a stealth game like Thief would be really interesting in VR.
Thief or Assassin's Creed or something like that?
Thief is first-person, so
Thief,
that's why
Thief
I would
in particular,
Thief
yeah.
Thief
or Dishonored.
Or like Dishonored, yeah.
I mean, anything stealth, you know, it seems like you would get a really good sense of tension, but I don't know, you know, because one of the biggest mechanics in that game, and games like it, is the light dark mechanic, like the shadow mechanic. How would you make that work in VR? I'm not really sure.
All you do is you would just darken the HUD a little bit when you're in stealth.
Well, I'm thinking like, you know, Batman Arkham Asylum or something like that, but like working on the stealth mechanics for that would be tricky, but if they could pull it off, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sarah, let's check in with our social media comments and see what you guys were saying between Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Over on Facebook, Duel has kind of my favorite answer, which is Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
I mean,
you know,
like simulate getting punched in the face rather than actually getting punched in the face.
I don't know. Like, if you put me into a VR boxing ring up against Mike Tyson, I'm pretty sure I would just crawl up into fetal position and just wet myself.
You had a Virtual Boy. Did you ever play Tarot Boxer?
I did not.
It was one of the only good games on
Virtual
Boy. I
actually did like Tarot Boxer.
No, I was not a fan of Tarot Boxer. I did like the Wario World game on it.
I think those were the only two good games.
The only
what
two
if it's
good
VR,
games
but it's still 8-bit Mike Tyson?
that's a little bit different. That's a little bit less threatening, right?
Andrew also gave an interesting answer of F-Zero Mario Kart, something super fast or racing.
Ooh, I like that.
A game where you're in a driver's seat, yes, or a cockpit makes sense. Yeah.
Again, because the motion is a much easier problem to solve in games like that. I love that idea. Here's a throwback that just made me think of that. What about Descent in VR? Do you guys remember that game?
I remember Descent, yeah.
That was one of my favorite PC games. I would love to see that brought back to life in VR.
Over on Twitter, we have Claire the Classy that says, the only reason I want a VR headset is for Resident Evil 7.
That's already a thing.
Robbie, you can speak to that. How was it?
Great. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
It is amazing.
I can't put enough emphasis on that word.
So
terrifying.
Early on in RE7, you get to go into a home that has been abandoned for a long time, and you get to look into a stew pot.
I nearly vomited.
Really?
IRL. Because nearly vomited.
What? No one.
It got the gag reflex going and everything. Oh, wow.
What people have trouble conveying with VR is just how close to your eyes it is.
Sure.
So, like, even if you're, like, watching someone play, it still looks like everything's far away, but when you're in the VR headset, it's right up in your face.
And specifically that scene when you lift it off, like there's little like strings from it too, and the sound that goes along with it.
Oh man,
it's visceral.
I love it.
Back in Facebook, we have Jean-Paul that says, No Man's Sky. With all the other improvements they have made, the game is pretty good, and just the feeling of exploring a universe in VR would be amazing.
Guess what?
Good news.
That's happening.
We've got great news for you. That's going to be happening. But yeah, again, an exploration game where you're in a cockpit, it makes sense.
Absolutely sure does. Maybe EVE Online. That would be a good one,
Eve,
right?
Would be so
if
weird.
That would be great if you'd never see it.
There's like a certain section of the population we would just never see again. Now, listen, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at CheckpointXP.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-host who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.